1340WNBS.com presents The Neil Bradley Show.
Hi, welcome to the show. Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun, will be along. We'll talk some racer sports. We will also be talking high school sports. Ed got to see one of the best games. If it isn't the best game, it's one of the best, not just probably in Western Kentucky, but in the state this year, that game between Mayfield and Caldwell County. Now, Mayfield won. That's honestly one of those where no losers walked off the field in that one. Mayfield just happened to have more points than Caldwell County. I think both fan bases and coaching staffs and players will agree it was a terrific game. And if they were all like that, you'd have to turn people away at every game. It was a fun one. We'll get Ed's take on that. And also talk about racer sports and kind of a, I really don't know what to say, just a scary situation, to be honest about it. Anytime you're talking about someone's heart, I mean their actual heart, not the, oh, they have heart. I don't mean that. But yesterday we get the information that Kedrick Flomo underwent emergency heart surgery at Vanderbilt Medical Center in Nashville. That's scary. Doctors expect him to make a full recovery, however, but he's not going to play this season for the Racers. Head coach Matt McMahon, this is a quote from Coach McMahon. Great perspective on it. Quote, "We are very thankful for the outstanding medical care Kedrick has received, both here in Murray and at Vanderbilt. Our number one priority is Kedrick's health and him making a full recovery from the surgery. We will be here to support him every step of the way. On behalf of his teammates and coaches, we continue to send our thoughts and love to Kedrick and his family." Now, I don't know if you've met Kedrick Flomo, but I will say this, and think of all the really good young men that we've had here. I mean, just, you know, from Isaiah Cannon to Dexter Fields, and I don't want to, you know, Marcus Brown, blah, blah, you don't want to get into the name of the list. We just have had a list. But in terms of just a nice young man, no one is ahead of Kedrick Flomo. Just a nice, pleasant young man. Love his attitude. Has a great smile, just a nice personality. Everyone who's ever met or interacted with Kedrick just loves him. And, you know, the teammates, I'm not saying they took it hard. They're sorry that he's missing it, but I think they're like everyone else. There's the, oh, I'm very sorry he had to have heart surgery, but on the other side, oh, my goodness, thankfully they caught this, and it appears he's going to be okay. That's the main thing. I mean, we've had some tragic situations in athletics, not just basketball, but all sorts of sports. And, you know, you never know. That we're all, I guess, day-to-day, as they say. But this looks good. Something that was caught, you know, I talked with Matt McMahon earlier today, and he said Kedrick, you know, they test the guys physically. He passed all of his tests with flying colors. But then as they you know, continue to evaluate kids throughout the season, he was dropping off for some reason, didn't know why. They tried to get to the bottom of it, and glad they did. So it looks as if things will be good. He's not going to play this season, but like Matt says, right now basketball is way down the list on our priorities with Kedrick. We want Kedrick to recover fully, have a great life physically, and then we can get back to basketball, and hopefully that'll be something that he'll be raring to go to do once he makes the recovery. The good news is, I mean, he's eating yesterday. He had some pictures made in his hospital bed, and you know, it's thumbs up all the way around, not just from him, but from his medical staff and everyone else. So we'll continue to follow him. Hopefully, at some point during the season, he'll be able to rejoin the Racers over on the bench. But you know, number one, he's got to take care of Kedrick Flomo. His body, and then you know, the student, and then they'll worry about the basketball portion about that. Now, as much as you hate to really get into the basketball portion of it, you have to. You just don't. Well, we had a player have serious surgery. The season's over. That's not what happens. Life goes on, and that means the Racers are now thinner at the point guard position. Kedrick had made great strides physically, putting on some extra weight and muscle, you know, thicker, stronger. That's something he needed to do, worked very hard at that. But now you pull him off, and then Chad Colbreth steps in, backing up Bryce Jones. And Chad, he's missed about 10 days with the concussion that he sustained in practice about 10 days ago. He just returned to the practice floor yesterday, so he's a little further behind than he would be. And if you'll recall, he had a broken hand. He missed a lot of the summer practice sessions that were available to him. So his practice time has been quite limited. And I also talked with Coach McMahon about the, you know, and they haven't had time. This kind of hit them all of a sudden. It's not like they've been sitting around planning, well, what if Kedrick Flomo happens to go down? You don't make those plans. You never expect that to happen. But now they'll have to, and at some point before the season starts, they'll have to address, okay, what are we going to do in guard situations? Okay, Bryce Jones, let's say he gets into foul trouble. Maybe he turns an ankle. Who backs up Chad Culbreth when he needs a break, if it is Chad? So those are questions. Right now, they don't have to answer them, but at some point, they'll have to figure that out. So our thoughts and prayers are with Kedrick and his family. Again, love the young man, and we're glad to have him at Murray State University as a student. And we hope to see him back next season flourish as a basketball player. But we just want to send our best, and I know Racer fans want to do the same. Well, anyway, tomorrow night the team will be in action. Of course, we'll focus on that, tell you a lot more about Freed Hardeman coming up in tomorrow's show on Thursday, plus the football previews. My goodness, what a busy day we have coming up for tomorrow for you. But we'll get all that in on tomorrow's show. I promise Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun, is waiting in the wings. I want to get you some more information, though. Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino, and unfortunately this is not on-the-court news either, but it's not with the Louisville situation. Kyle Keurig, who was part of that Final Four team his senior year back in 2012, played for Louisville 2008 through 2012 season. His Spanish professional team have announced that Kyle Keurig has a brain tumor. In a statement on the team's website, they announced he was admitted to a Barcelona hospital and surgery is expected in the next few days. So another young man that we'll keep in our thoughts and prayers for sure. Three OVC teams played basketball last night. Here's what happened. Brent Arrington with 20 points to lead Morehead State to an easy 107-57 win over Ashbury in their season-opening exhibition game at Johnson Arena. Lamar State transfer Eric Durham had 21 points, and Jacksonville State's 110-61 thumping of Miles College. And Trey Anderson scored 18 points as Eastern Illinois survived a hot-shooting St. Francis of Illinois team. 74-71, the visitors hung around by making 13 of 26 three-pointers. There are no OVC teams in exhibition action tonight, but as we told you, Murray State will take on Freed Hardeman tomorrow night. Murray's own Taylor Richardson is the OVC Offensive Player of the Week. The Murray State player, a Murray native, he partnered both the Racer scores in the win over Austin Peay last week. She scored the first goal in the match, then assisted on the game-winning goal. The Racers open an OVC tournament play Friday when they host Morehead State at 2 p.m. at Cutchin Field. Tennessee Tech battles SEMO in the 11 a.m. semifinal game, and then the championship match will be played at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Murray State baseball team has released its 2016 schedule. It features 55 games in all, including 30 at Reagan Field in the second season under Racers head coach Kevin Mulder. And man, I'll tell you, he's got a beefed up schedule here, no doubt. Now, the Racers open play, this is smart. When it's cold, when it's February, let's head to Florida. Daytona Beach, a three-game series against Bethune-Cookman, February 19th through 21st. Gotta like that. Following its opening series, the Racers will come back home for 10 consecutive games at Reagan Field, starting with Harris Stowe. That's the home opener. Circle your calendar for February 23rd. MSU will play two games again this season against Kentucky, the first in Lexington March 9th. The two teams will play a game later in the season, May 17th, at Brooks Stadium in Paducah. The Racers begin OVC play on the road at UT Martin March 11th through 13th. The conference bye week follows that. The Racers will travel to Lawrence, Kansas for a pair of games against Kansas, March 15th and 16th, and then the OVC home opening series March 18th through the 20th against SIU Edwardsville. Memphis also will come to Reagan Field for one game March 22nd, and Creighton is coming to Reagan Field as well as they will play a three-game series at Murray State. Neither team of former Racers in the NBA in action last night. Isaiah Cannon's Philadelphia 76ers are in Milwaukee tonight. Campaign's Oklahoma City Thunder will host Toronto. We'll take a break. Coming up, Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun. He's next.
When we left you in March.
Moss to tie for the three. It's good with 3.5 seconds to go. Timeout Old Dominion, 69 all. Jeffrey Moss
Since then, four Racer starters signed pro contracts, and Steve Prohm left for Iowa State. New head coach Matt McMahon leads the Racers Thursday night in the season's only exhibition game. Hear Freed Hardeman at Murray State at 6:30 Thursday on Froggy 103.7, your flagship station for Racer sports.
Welcome back to the show. As promised, Ed Marlowe, the Paducah Sun, is my guest. We have a fantastic football game we're going to talk about at the high school level from last week. But before we get to that, yesterday we learned of the Kedrick Flomo situation with him having emergency heart surgery at Vanderbilt. Looks like he's going to make a full recovery, but the Racers are right immediately dealing with this. And, of course, right now their thoughts and prayers, I'm sure, are right with Kedrick. But they got to play basketball tomorrow night and got to kind of regroup mentally and get on with that. And, you know, it seems as if, even though it's very serious, the fact that he's smiling and eating and things like that, I think has put the team at ease, but he's going to be on their minds, no doubt about it, Ed.
Well, absolutely, Neil. I think the first and foremost thing is catching. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to talk about any speculation or things like that, but catching whatever was wrong with Flomo, I think, should be at the forethought of everybody's minds. You know, whatever was wrong, whether it was a pacing issue or a heart murmur or anything like that, whatever was going on with Kedrick Flomo, the fact that the university and the men's basketball staff caught what was going on with him before the season started, before any more strenuous activity was part of his daily regimen, then, you know, that's a blessing that happened. That being said, I mean, you're exactly right, Neil. Tomorrow we have an exhibition game. The Racers play Free Hardman, and then next week the season starts. And obviously Flomo had been one of those guys that Coach McMahon had really talked up. He had a good trip in Canada. He put on 18 to 20 pounds of muscle and was expected to play some very critical minutes behind what should be a starter in Bryce Jones, the JUCO transfer. So, you know, it's one of those things where McMahon and the guys now have to kind of go back to the drawing board and wonder who's going to get those minutes. And, you know, and unfortunately, while they're thinking about who's getting those minutes, they're also having to think about Flomo's recovery and him just getting better and hopefully returning to the bench soon just to be a part of the team.
Yeah, I think that's it, and all indications are that that will be the case. But from the team standpoint, while their number one priority is Kedrick and him recovering, and it looks like that's going to happen, they have to figure out that the point guard slot, and it puts to me a lot of pressure on Bryce Jones, and then Chad Culbreth. He just got back because of a concussion, so he's missed some significant time. He missed time because of a broken hand, I believe it was. Back in the summertime. So he's already a little bit behind the eight ball there. But it's pretty much, here you go, Bryce Jones. I hope you can handle it. Sort of like Cam Payne was his freshman season, and it did really work out okay. But I remember Cam, he had some growing pains early on. Download a film of his first game, and he'll tell you, ooh, I wasn't really all that good. Did some impressive things, but did some unimpressive things in game one as well.
Well, and that's absolutely true, Neil. I remember Cam Payne's very first game like it was yesterday. You know, he took 24 shots against Valparaiso, and the Racers lost 77-74 on the road. And, it's one of those things where we might not see Bryce Jones take 24 shots, but there will be some growing pains. That being said, I do think there are a couple silver linings. I think the fact that G. McGee has been able to run multiple spots in practice, I did a little bit of research yesterday. In his last season with Chattanooga, he averaged 10 points, 5 rebounds, and 3 assists. I don't know, that's not too bad for guard numbers.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, if that's something that G can do in the backup role, if that's what he ends up, you know, having to do, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for the Racers. If that ends up being the situation where G comes out and runs like that second unit offense, also, if Culbreth ends up being one of those guys that, you know, we found out 2 or 3 weeks ago that Coach McMahon didn't have any intentions of redshirting anybody. So if Culbreth is one of those guys that can step on the floor and immediately contribute some significant minutes behind Bryce Jones, then that might be, you know, that might be an option. Another option, And Coach McMahon laughed about it, but, you know, I think he's pretty serious when he says that he's probably going to have some offense run through Wayne Langston at point forward. And, you know, we thought all summer that he was kind of joking about that and laughing about it. And but if you go back and look, if I'm not mistaken, I think, you know, I think Prohm and Kennedy even had some offense run through a very a favorite racer of many people in Ivan Aska. And, you know, I mean, if Wayne Langston's one of those guys that can get up at the top of the key and run a little bit of offense through him, and go for it, you know, especially at this point when, you know, Kedrick Plomo is no longer, you know, with the Racers this season.
Well, that'll get here before you know it. Again, the exhibition game Thursday night, and then a week from this Friday, the regular season will begin. So we'll have more on that down the road. A little bit on Racer football as well. Again, a valiant effort against Eastern Illinois, but the injuries really mounting up, taking its toll on the Racers. However, oddly, the defense, which was really banged up, you have Taylor Shipley on the other side of the ball. They didn't play that badly, really, I thought, against Eastern Illinois. They had some really fantastic stands when the offense put them in a tough spot with some early turnovers. But again, the team came up just short. They allowed a kickoff return for a touchdown, and in the end, that helped be part of their undoing this past Saturday. Now they have a Tennessee State team that's banged up, and when you look at the schedule ahead, Ed, let's be just brutally honest, they have to pull off two upsets to get any other wins if they don't win this Saturday.
I think that's probably true, Neil. I mean, by all intents and purposes, I mean, when you've got Jack State, EKU, two of the better teams in the OVC, and Jack State beat EKU 34-0 last week, and that's the last game of the season. You know, thinking about it, that it's going to be very competitive, but it's also going to be very tough. There's a reason why Jack State is number one in the country, and they've proven it time and again. They should be undefeated. We know what happened against Auburn, and we know how that game went down. But, you know, that being said, this game against Tennessee State this weekend, I think is a chance for the Racers to pick up an OVC win. I know it didn't necessarily fall in their favor last season, but, you know, this is a different year, and I think Coach Stewart's been trying to preach that, you know, time and again. And despite injuries, I think Coach Stewart said 14 are on injured, you know, on the injured list this week. That's a good mix of defense and offense. He said some of those guys, he wouldn't say who, but he said some of those guys would probably be on the field, but that they're still having to heavily monitor them. That being said, you know, you are right, Neil. I mean, this is a defense that for 2.5 quarters had the Racers within 4 points, forced 6 punts, gave up 90 yards on 27 plays to a very, you know, unique, dynamic offense in Eastern Illinois. They do a really good job of mixing the run and the pass. They've got an excellent quarterback in Jalen Whitlow, a good running back in Shepherd Little. They do a really good job of just mixing, you know, what's going to happen. You don't know if Whitlow's going to take off. You don't know if it's play action. You're not sure if it's going to be a run out of the shotgun or under center. You know, you don't know if he's going to the flats or if they're going to take a deep, you know, deep action shot. And the only play that the Racers really broke down in coverage, you know, was that 80-yard play action touchdown right through the secondary. And I think they, you know, the safeties and all the linebackers bit on the run, and it finally ended up paying dividends for the Panthers. And then, of course, the 40-yard touchdown to end the kind of end the game was, of course, a broken coverage, but I think that was more of just the defense just gassed and couldn't get to the edge to stop the run. And so, you know, outside of two really big plays in the second half that ended up being the margin of difference, you know, the Racers' defense, 27 plays and 90 yards, that's good to me.
Yeah,
I take that. If I were a coach and my team was hanging in and I had that many injuries, I'd take 27 plays and 90 yards any day.
Yeah.
And I do think that that's a sign of encouragement, especially if that's reserves in. You know, just imagine what the defense would have been like if it were 100% healthy. You know, we might still be watching the ball game right now.
could be. Speaking of football, we have the high school football playoffs that begin in Kentucky on actually Thursday. I think Christian County plays a couple of games, but most everyone will play on Friday. We'll talk about those games, at least some, in a bit. But you saw maybe one of the best games, if not the best game of the season, in the Caldwell County Mayfield contest, and it was terrific, right to the wire. Sometimes these games are built up, and then you get there, and it's like, yeah, that wasn't very good. Not the case here. You were able to witness quite a game there, Ed.
I was. I feel bad. I told Coach Barnes after the game, the two times that I've seen the Caldwell County Tigers, they lost, and their only two losses of the season, and I feel terrible. I feel like a bad omen. That being said, of course, I was at games that, you know, the Tigers had a great chance to win. They lost their first game of the season against Christian County and the last game of the regular season against Mayfield, two excellent programs this year. Mayfield, of course, standing for itself, and then, you know, Christian County certainly, you know, has had a great season. That being said, you know, I saw a lot of growth out of a Caldwell County team that at the start of the season wasn't sure who their quarterback was going to be, to the end of their season being Shane Burns, a sophomore, who has stepped up and played excellent football all season long, and was excellent last Friday night. Really good with his check downs, really good, you know, hitting his progressions and just and scrambling. The last drive of the game to get Caldwell in field goal position, they had a fourth down that might have been a little questionable, but he threw to an open D. Kane, who was clipped underneath, and they called pass interference, kept the drive alive. Burns picked up a couple first downs with his legs, and all of a sudden, with 29 seconds left, Caldwell hits a 40-yard field goal. Looks like it could be the game winner. But then Mayfield, after struggling so much in early, you know, in the passing game, was able to hit two of three quick passes, and Kevin Caldwell turned the last one into a 43-yard gain, and Sidney Herndon hit him a 27-yard field goal to win the game with 2 seconds remaining. And, you know, as a journalist, sometimes you hope for a game to kind of be a little lopsided so you can get started on some of the work involved and putting the story together. But when a game has so much action in the last 45 seconds, you know, it's unbelievable.
I mean,
it's a rush for the fans. It's a rush for the journalist, honestly, just because you just don't know. You know, your lead changes 5-6 times in your head. You have no idea what's happening. And then all of a sudden the game's over and the score is 25 Mayfield, Caldwell 24. And there were so many other things that happened in that game. Mayfield struggled early. Caldwell's defense, particularly D. Kane, came to play, two interceptions. Matter of fact, started the game with a 62-yard interception return for a touchdown on an ill-advised throw from Landon Arnett. Then did it later again. Caldwell had a field goal blocked. Mayfield drove all the way to the end zone. Arnett threw another interception again to D. Kane while trying to scramble out of the pocket. Just so much happening. You know, Devontae Riley, 50-yard touchdown run up the middle. Kevin Caldwell answered in the second half. 20 seconds in, took a 77-yard screen for a touchdown. Just so many things that happened, so many vivid pictures in my mind, and a game that will go down as one of this year's best, in my opinion.
Now we're faced with week one of the high school football playoffs, and since the expansion where the top four teams from each district gets in six classes, usually this means stinker week. More often than not, there's a lot of lopsided games. You have to pick through and find a few that might be interesting. One of those right here in Murray will probably be Allen County, Scottsville, and Callaway County, at least on paper. That looks like a close one. What do you think about this opening round in terms of what we have here in Western Kentucky yet?
We're a little bit excited about it. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Mike says it'll be at the McCracken County game. I'll be at Paducah Tillman. I believe Tillman plays Edmondson County, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
We do believe that it could be a decent game. We think Tillman will probably come away with the win, you know, for the most part, especially being at home, and ending their season with a very, very satisfying 35-21 win over Murray. You know, Tillman's healthy and getting ready to go, and they've got Dunnigan back, and he's playing well. Savion McEwen's probably... he's playing some of the best football in the region, just both offensively and defensively getting it done. And Jordan Fraser, and that offense is really clicking. And so, you know, if they can get the defensive effort to continue to do what they've been doing lately, we think Tillman's got a chance to really make a pretty far, you know, a pretty decent run. And the same with McCracken. You know, I mean, if they can get over there early, their early part of their postseason schedule, they've got a chance to make a pretty decent run in 6A. Unfortunately, they'll always run into some of the bigger powerhouse schools up in Louisville late in their run, and that's always going to be tough. I think what the big game that we're really interested in, and we're unfortunately not going to be able to, is the Graves County Greenwood. That's the one that Mike has been talking about the most. Graves is the 500. I think Greenwood's 8-2. Mm-hmm. But that game has a chance to be one of the more intriguing ones, because if Graves is firing on all cylinders and their defense plays like it did last year in the playoffs, you know, they've got a chance to really, you know, open some eyes. And if they can make a long run in the playoffs again, I don't think anybody's going to want to play them. They've got a really good running back in Dakota Dixon. You know, Trevor Grant, Ryan Mathis are just two young guys that are getting it done as a wide receiver and quarterback, respectively. And if that defense can get on the same page and do what they did last year, you know, it could be, you know, something very interesting to watch. That's a young team getting it done. Dixon, of course, a senior, but, you know, the rest of that team is very young, offensive line, a lot of the defense. A bunch of young guys trying to piece together a valuable season. And so, you know, that's the game that is the most interesting to us, but it's so far away that we're just not able to go. But we'll be watching from afar, and we'll be waiting to see how that plays out for sure.
And I appreciate the wrap-up on that. Always interesting to chat with you. And by next week, we'll talk about the beginning of basketball season. If we just kind of get two things going at once. And I know for you guys, it really starts to hammer you when you have two sports going at once. But it does start after the first couple of weeks. Some of the football teams kind of thin out, and it maybe relieves you just a little bit, doesn't it?
Just a little bit. The crazy thing about next week, and we can talk about it, I'll be writing a lot of previews for next Friday.
Oh, yes.
I will miss the season opener.
What? Possibly could be coming up that would make you do that?
Well, I will have a rehearsal dinner for a lovely wedding.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, well, and then I will miss the Eastern Kentucky game.
Okay.
As several racer fans will miss the Eastern Kentucky game because right. They'll be at my wedding.
Yeah, so. I got you. All right.
My apologies in advance.
So let me get this. I just want to be sure. You do know that that is the opening weekend of deer hunting season, right?
Oh yeah, no, we've already gotten that too.
You have some loyal friends or some non-hunting friends. That's probably my case.
A little bit of both.
All right, Ed, I appreciate the visit, and we'll probably give you a couple of weeks off to handle that. I understand that. All right.
Hey, that sounds great.
Okay, I appreciate it. That's Ed Marlowe of the Paducah Sun.